Welcome to Dating Satan, Season 1, Episode 9, with David Turner from Mav Sports on One Institution Media Network. Today's topic is EOD, Equal Opportunity Dating. So, David, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm David Turner. I'm host and or co-host of Maverick Sports Take. Ryan Roberts and I do that every week here on the One Institution Network. We typically talk about sports and everything. Last week, Keisha was kind enough to come on and talk about athletes and dating and dating athletes and the whole world of that. So I was like, hey, let me do your show and talk about, you know, EOD.
Thank you for coming. I really appreciate you. So let's jump right in. What is EOD?
Well, equal opportunity dating is just dating the person that you're, you know, it's not about the race, the color, their skin, or kind of what those preconceived notions or biases would be. It's staying open to the individual and dating them as a person. I'm personally a heterosexual male, so I date women of color as well as white women. And, you know, for me, it's just about the person that's inside the skin versus the skin itself.
So questions, since you're an equal opportunity dater, do you see many differences between dating different races and cultures?
I do. I personally do. I mean, when you're dating a Latin woman, you have very passionate behavior, very family oriented. You're going to be around their family all the time. You're going to be constantly immersed in their Latin culture, whichever one it is. I mean, Brazilian women are different than Mexican women, different than Spanish women. So, I mean, I've dated several and it's just different. Latinas are different. You know, when you date a Black woman, you have to know how to date about Black woman. You have to be patient. You have to allow them to lose their temper a little bit because it's going to happen. And you know what? It's not. And what white men have trouble with is if they think it's us. Like, because when a white woman loses it on us, it's us. But often when a Black woman loses it, it's about something else. You're just taking the brunt of it. And when she tells you to get out of the house, she really doesn't mean get out of the house. She just means leave her alone for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. But don't leave the house, because if you leave the house, now she's even more mad. So, you know, it's just knowing how to date the different races and different, and, you know, if you date Asian women, a lot of Asian women internalize stuff. So you have to kind of fish what's wrong with them because they're not just going to, they've been taught in their culture that it's to internalize their problems, don't make it their man's problem. And, you know, that's just different things that happen with different cultures that I've found in my dating world.
Okay. So which one would you say would be the best experience that fits your everyday lifestyle? Because you travel a lot, you meet a lot of people. You're around a lot of athletes, you're connecting to the entertainment sports circle. Is it hard for women to date you because you're constantly on the go and you're kind of in the spotlight a little bit because of your career and your profession?
I don't know if I'm in the spotlight, but it's hard for me to find a consistent relationship because a lot of women like men home at night. And I'm not going to be the man that's at home every night. I'm going to be traveling. Like you said, I'm going to be on the road. It's easier for me to date somebody who travels a little bit too, that might be able to meet up somewhere in a city, you know, and us grab a weekend away somewhere when I'm working somewhere. But, you know, it's hard in my demographic because I'm over 40. I'm a single dad. So, you know, having kids, dating, I've actually found women be more turned off that I have a young child than the color of my skin, or be turned off because I'm short versus the color of my skin. But yeah, it's really kind of interesting that I get rejected from the dating world with my small child more than anything else right now.
So why do you think that is? Because most women are, we're just pretty much the same age. I'm 41. My daughter is 9. Sometimes people who are our age, their kids are either grown or their grandparents. So it's like, I don't want to start over. It's like they feel like they're taking on a parenting role when they get in a relationship with you. When it's, for me, it's like I was parenting before you came along. You're a plus, but it's not a necessity, and I'm not asking for you to take that role. But I think that's the reason why most people, even in my experience, I've gotten that a lot. It's like, oh, you got a small child. My kids are grown. I'm not used to being around kids. So you think that's your experience from females?
Same here. A lot of them are, yeah, a lot of women have had to do it on their own. They've, you know, they've been single moms since late 20s, early 30s, and now their kids are grown and out of the house, and they want to be able to have the freedom to just pick up and go and not have to check in, not have to worry about a parenting schedule, whatever, which I totally understand, totally get. You know, I respect that that's their decision. It's just something I never thought I would experience in life, being a man who's taking care of his kids, to come across, you know, women saying, oh, that's a non-negotiable. I don't want to date a man with a small child. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting, you know, because she's going on 9 versus going on 8. And my oldest is 16. So, you know, there's a little age gap in there, but it's still like, you know, I'm trying to be a responsible parent, not neglect my children. And yeah, but that's a negative in a woman's eyes that, again, have their kids raised and are out of the house, which for me is something that surprised me when I got back in the dating world.
So how did you respond to women when you date them that, well, clearly didn't go any further, but how did you respond when women tell you, I don't date guys with young children?
Like you said, it just goes no further. And I say, thanks for letting me know and keep it moving and, you know, keep the hunt alive and keep moving forward, because my children aren't going to go anywhere. And that's just the way it goes. And, you know, if you can't respect my parenting decisions, whether it's I'm going to be in their life or they're going to be in mine, or, you know, you don't get to meet them right away, whatever the case may be, then we're just not a match. And in my, you know, I'm 46 years old. I'm looking for the right partner that understands my life and that I understand their life. And really the connection I'm looking for is someone accepts me for not only who I am, but how my life is. And I accept them for how their life is. Because again, I love your concept, your show of dating Satan, because I've dated Satan a few times. And it's just like, I'd rather Satan be upfront and honest versus find out 2 months down the road or 3 months down the road or even longer about what's going on in their life.
Now, have you noticed, because you're an equal opportunity dater, the difference in how women respond within the different races and cultures to you having a younger child? Like, is it particularly one race is like, no, I'm not going to do it? Or one race is more open to doing it?
You know, more white women are no. More white women are no, I'm not going to do it. I've found Latinas and Black women and Asian women to be very open to it. You know, they think it's an endearing quality of how I am with my daughter versus, you know, a lot of white women are the ones that say that's a non-negotiable for them.
That's interesting. That's a surprising, actually, because for me, if I meet a dude who's I love a real father. Like, I love a guy who's committed and devoted to being influential in their child's life, whether they have a daughter or a son, because there's so many kids growing up without a father figure that it's like, oh, that makes a guy more attractive to me. I love real dads. Like, that's an instant attraction is a real dad. And I think a lot of women who come from families who don't have them appreciate it more. So that's just surprising that women won't talk to you.
Yeah, again, it's something that when I started out, the, you know, after post divorce and everything, I just didn't expect it. And now here I am. I mean, and the other one is my height. I never, like, growing up, going through college, going through high school, everything, I never realized my height was a deterrent. You know, I'm a pretty sure of myself guy. And so, but now in the dating world and how we do all this app dating and everything, you know, it's I'm not even on the shopping menu, you know? I mean, women will go into the apps and they'll just put in 5'10" and higher or 6 foot and higher, and my profile never gets seen on those ones because I'm only 5'4". So, you know, they like my profile doesn't even get exposure. And it's funny to me because, and again, I'll go out to the bars or I'll go out with my friends and we'll go to food truck events and whatever. And I have fun. And, you know, I again, I don't run into that, but on the apps I run into it because my profiles just don't get seen. And my taller friends laugh at me that they think this is a problem. Like, no, I'm an evaluator. It's what I do. 18 years in the NFL and, you know, different leagues playing, you know, evaluating people and evaluating situations. And I'm just evaluating. I'm like, I'm not insecure about my height. You've known me, Keisha, for a while now. I'm not insecure about my height. It's just an evaluation of when a woman goes into an app and she types in, like when she goes to Amazon, you guys want a black dress or a black heel. Right, you know this shapey, you want a black heel, you want it 4 inches, you want it strappy, you want the toes to show, open toe. You plug that in and then you just look at those, right? Because you have a certain outfit in your mind that you're gonna wear that outfit to go with that shoe. Well, I'm like that little boot in the side that when you walk into the shoe department, you didn't think you wanted. But now that you got to see it, then you start changing the outfit in your mind a little bit. You're like, well, I could really, you know what? I could rock that with this dress instead of that dress. And I really like that boot more than the strappy shoe I came in with. And then you leave with something that you don't necessarily think you wanted. And it's again, because a lot of men my height are insecure about their height. They don't have the confidence. They're not, you know, secure in who they are. But when you're
definitely confident.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's a good thing. Now, question. Do you feel like any particular race has been more, since this is dating Satan, more satanic in the relationship? Do you feel like you've had more toxic relationships with any particular race?
No, I think that's equal across the board. It's, again, it's about the people, the individuals. You know, I really do. I think it's equal across the board.
And see, I've never dated outside of my race, so I don't have anything to compare it to. But I would love the experience, though.
You're welcome anytime. But that being said, like, I will say this. Women that are willing to date outside their race often are more compassionate people than the ones that stick inside their race. That's what I've found. Like, when I date white women, they are a little bit more harsh and abrasive towards me and their comments. And when we're fighting, you know, they kind of come at me a little bit more differently. When I date outside my race, to me, I find more compassion in those women often when we're fighting or when we're going through life adversities. And so that's something that I've noticed is that if a woman or a man date outside their race, they tend to be more compassionate people because they're already showing you they're open to dating, you know, whoever. They're dating the person. They're not dating the skin color.
I like that perspective. It's crazy because last week I made a post on Facebook, and the post was saying that I used to call men tender, but they've elevated their behavior to now being homotional. And the guy on the post, a black guy on the post, it's on my friends list, he says that black men are becoming more emotional and acting like women, and that he suggests that black women go date outside their race and to open their horizons to dating outside of their race because black men are now starting to be more emotional and more in tune with their feminine side. And it was surprising the response in the comments that were given that kind of is crazy, which is really crazy to me. A lot of guys that are opposed to his comment are the main guys who are Satan, who had a problem with it. We're like, you're Satan yourself. So he's trying to get us, at least in my perspective, he's telling us like, open your eyes. It's more to dating than just your race. Cause to me personally, I feel like black women should date outside of their race because most black guys, very few, don't have a problem with dating outside of theirs. So I think more black women should be open to dating outside their race.
Because I think people, some of us, no matter what it is, should just be dating whomever they come across. But whomever you come across needs to be empathetic of your situation and understand it. I'm gonna tell you a funny story. I'm gonna tell you a good one right here. So I started dating a black woman. I went on a coffee date and then a second date with her. And she literally looked at me and said, I would never understand black people. And I'm like, I don't understand what you're telling me right now, because my best friend since I was 15 years old is a black man who my family has accepted into our world. And he's the second son, because I'm the only son. So he's the second son. Like at Christmas, I mean, we grew up together side by side since 15 years old. I date black women. I've dated, you know, other black. And she's like, yeah, but you'll never get it. And I'm like, no, I'm never going to get it. I'm not a black dude. I don't go to the store and get profiled. You're right. But at the same time, you can't tell me I can't empathize. And even tonight, I sit here wearing my HBCU Combine shirt, which I'm a proud member of the first organization ever to put on HBCU Combine for black athletes, because it's a important issue. And it's something, as you know, I've taken on and I'm champion. I'm even setting up an HBCU basketball event coming up in August in Vegas, you know, because it's something. But for her to look at me and be like, you'll never understand. I was so drawn back. I was just like, you're finding a reason now not to date me. Cool. Let's keep it moving, you know?
So did you ask her what doesn't she feel like you understand?
Oh, she really thought that I was some kind of racist, honestly. Like, she really did. And I was just like, because I'm white and I'm a male. I'm like, why did you accept my date? And she was just like, in the second date. And she's like, well, I thought you'd be different, but I'm finding you're not. Again, she really was just looking for a reason to just end the relationship. Cool. Keep it moving. I'm all about it. Like, you know, go find your man. Go find the dude that you belong with, because it's clearly not.
That's like, you went on a second date. Typically, most people can tell by the first date or even the first phone conversation if it's not going to be a good vibe. Like, if I get on the phone with you and we literally are off the phone in 10 minutes and it's a dry conversation, it's like there's no point to even meet you in person. But on the contrary, it's some people who are not phone people. And then when you meet them in person, it's like they have this great personality. And they're really more engaging in person. So I can kind of get that. But to go on a second date, it's like, did you just want a free coffee? Or were you bored? Like, you knew after the first date.
Like I said, we showed up. We had a good phone conversation. We did the whole texting back and forth a little bit. And then next thing you know, we have the second date. And it was just all bad.
Now, do you typically date women in your age range, or do you go higher, younger?
I like to stay in my age range. I'm not one. I tease my female friends a lot about, oh, I'm going in the 20s. I'm dating nothing. I'm Leo DiCaprio. I'm nothing over 26. And I tease them all the time, but I don't. I can't date a 20-year-old. I've tried. It doesn't work. There's just nothing in common. You know, it's just not for me. I personally need conversation. I need someone with intelligence. If you find anybody I've ever dated and go and talk to them, they're pretty intelligent, smart women. I need that, because I need that conversation. I can't go beyond that. Looks are good and everything, don't get me wrong, but I need the conversation, intelligence, integrity. I need passion in my life. You know, they need to be passionate people. So those are what I look for more. But age-wise, I typically stay a little younger. I'm not going to lie. I mean, my ideal sweet spot would be 37 to 47 in that age range is where I find connection and people that we can make same jokes about movies and growing up and different things. And if I go too much younger than 37 and if I go too much higher than 47, they seem to be old. And I'm not an old personality, even though I'm 46 years old. You know me, I'm pretty young personality. Doesn't mean I'm immature.
Yeah.
I'm a young personality. And so I like to joke, have fun. I like to go out. I like to travel. And some people, men or women, that are over a certain age, they tend to kind of fall into that older mentality, which just isn't my mentality. That's true.
I actually dated a guy who was like, I'm 41. So like 13 years older than me. And it was just like a real disconnect. because of the age difference. So I don't know how, like, even guys I notice my age to date 20-year-olds is like, I look at them either you're immature, you want to be controlling, or I hate to say it, you got to be popping pills like these young kids, because most 20-year-olds are, they're different from when we were. I'll just use that. But I definitely look at most guys who, even me, like the guy I dated that was in his 50s and I'm 41, he tried to control me. So I think when they have that big age gap, it's a thing of, I've had a lot more life experiences than you. So I'm telling you what you need to do, how you need to do it, and you need to listen, because they feel like they've already done it and you don't know it. So they're trying to tell you how to do it, when in fact, most people need to learn those lessons on their own.
Well, and again, you can supply the support for them as they're going through it if they're looking for it, right? But you can't, right. You can't live their life and be like, oh, I've already made that mistake, don't do it. You know, they're not your child. So you have to say, hey, history has shown me I've done that, and this is what's the result. You go do what you want. It's on you. You know, and again, for me, intelligent people that I get attracted to listen to those comments and roll with them, because they're like, you know what, let me learn from his life experience or her life experience. You know, like my ex-wife is 6 years younger than me, but she's owned her own business for a long time. So even now, mm-hmm. I'll be like, hey, I'm trying to do this. And she's been there, done that, failed. I mean, she built her own company on her heels, as I call it. And, you know, and she's dominating her market now. But it's like, so I can learn from her life experience of building a business now that I'm trying to do that myself. Cause I was, you know, a W-2 employee for 18 years, whatever. And now I'm trying to build a business and a brand. So, you know, why not lean on her expertise if I can, and other people that, you know, are in our circle, you know, I lean on their expertise and learn from them if I can.
So do you feel like in your dating experiences as an equal opportunity dater, I just love that EOD. It's just so catchy. As an EOD, do you feel like any particular race is more supportive of your vision and your goals in your career and your business? Or is it kind of the same across the board? Or are some women, I've met women who are selfish to business owners, where they feel like it's consuming so much of their time that they don't have time for their relationship.
It's interesting you ask. The Black women that I've dated are very supportive of what I try to do in so many ways. Like, they will sit, they will work with me, they will do like next to me, and they're in 100%. If I say I have to jump on a call, like, they don't give me flack. They're like, yeah, handle your business, go do you. You know what I mean? Like, as long as it's a work call and not like a personal call taking time away from us, they're like, cool, go do you. And when I've traveled, a lot of the Black women I've dated have been like, yeah, I get it. Like, you're on the road, you're grinding. Like, they're not jealous up in my butt. Whereas a couple of the Asian women that I've tried to date, they require a little bit more time. And if you're not, you know, there texting them and talking to them, or if you say you got to hang up from them because you got a work call coming in, they're not as open to that, should I say. You know, Latin women, as long as you give Latin women, in my experience, you know, your personal time and turn the phone off when you are with them, that they're pretty good with it. But you have to turn the phone off. Yeah, you can't be distracted. They hate being when you're distracted. And they would rather you just go spend an extra hour at work and then come home than having, you know, than having you be at home and on the phone. And they would rather you stay at work until you're done with work and then you come home. But when you're home, you're home. So, and a lot.
Now, is that because you say that they're so much into family and committed to family things. You think that's why? It's like, once you get home to family, you're committed to this family, not work anymore.
Yeah. When you get home, you are checked into the family. You are not working anymore. That is it. You're done. But you know, and again, a lot of the Latinas I've dated are really good with I need to spend extra time at work and get it done. And they're like, okay, just when you get your ass home, you're home. So, you know, so that's it is. Whereas some of the white women that I've dated are different. They're, some of them, if they're business oriented and their business conscious, they get the business calls late, they get the business up early, you know, staying up late, not having time to, you know, cuddle or whatever, or spend time at night because they're business focused too. But if they're not, if they're a 9-to-5er and they're like, why can't you just leave it at work? Or how come you're working on the weekends? Or I don't get why you're traveling so much and you're choosing to travel. And I'm like, don't tell me how to do my job. You really don't know how to do my job. But that's what you bought in for. You know, like my ex-wife, she didn't know a damn thing about football. Not a thing. She's a, I don't even know if she watched a football game before she married me, but she would come to the games and she would show up and she would bring the kids and she would make it an experience. Like she was supportive. She was in those stands and she made sure she was there, you know, on game nights and stuff. So.
Now, how long have you been dating again since you've been divorced?
3 years now.
Oh, you got your feet wet a little bit. So do you think you would ever get back into marriage again?
Sorry?
Would you ever get married again? Would you ever get married again?
Marriage is not my top priority. I'm dating with a purpose, but I'm not dating to be married. You know, I think people who date to be married, they have an end goal in which they're looking at, but I don't know if it's a proper end goal. I think if you date with a purpose, like I'm dating to find a partner, a life partner, and be with them, you know, the rest of my life.
Okay. So apparently we've lost David. This is pretty much the end of our interview anyway, on Dating Satan episode 9. We'll give David a few minutes to see if he'll return back, but it looks like his signal may have dropped. But we're just going to recap today's episode, Equal Opportunity Dater, or EOD. My words of advice is open your options. You never know, the person that is meant for you or God designed for you may not be the same color as you. So please take time to evaluate things that are outside of the norm, because sometimes we get so comfortable with being with what we know that we don't know what else we could experience and what other happiness lies for us if we were just open to it. So remember to go check out David Turner with Mav Sports. Go to One Institution Media. Let me see if I can get David back. Well, let's see. Have David back. Let's see if we can get David. No, I actually don't have. I have someone else. So let me get David. I got to get David here. 1 second. I have David. Let me get David back on. Okay. Thanks for coming back, Dave. I was actually about to just wrap it up. So I'm actually glad you came back. So thank you, David. I was actually wrapping it up for EOD, or as we would want to call it, Equal Opportunity Dating, telling people that they should open their options up outside of their norm. What may look like them may not be right for them.
No, I agree. And again, to date the person and not the skin color, and date. And, you know, open yourself to different cultures and different races in order to really find out, you know, it's either going to strengthen your convictions for your dating preferences, or it's going to open your eyes to new opportunities, new people, and a new world that's out there. So, you know, either way, any which way, you're going to win if you open up your eyes and your heart to somebody outside your own race.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Can you give us your social media contact so they can watch, like, subscribe to Mav Sports?
It's Mav_sports, MAV_sports. And I'm pretty much, you can hit me on Insta, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you want. And it's Maverick Sports Consulting is our .com. So feel free to go there and check us out. We work with athletes, coaches, agents, and just people in business about maximizing your opportunities as they come along. So whatever you're into, we can help you maximize it any which way about it.
Okay. And please follow Dating Satan on Facebook. The business page is Dating Satan. The Instagram is Dating_Satan. And the Facebook group is Dating Satan, the number 2. And make sure you go to oneinstitutionmedia.com. I'm sorry, oneinstitution.com. You can watch, subscribe, like, both Dating Satan and Mav Sports. You can go to our individual websites to catch all of the episodes as well at oneinstitution.com. Thanks for coming on today, David. You've been great. You have a good night.
You too. Miss you.
Bye-bye.